Sounds like I'm giving myself a little feedback.
But that's...
We all need some feedback, just not from ourselves. Seeing that this is Father's Day, if you will join me in singing number 505, Father, we love you. Most of you don't need the book.
Know me, Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. And adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth.
In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus made a pronouncement there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We are to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might. This is the central part of our very relationship with God and our hope of heaven. We want to go there because we want to live with God and to live with Him forever. But in order to see God, Jesus said, above all else, we must be pure. Pure in our heart. And biblically, the heart is not just the emotions, but it includes the emotions and the mental side, our thoughts, our desires. God Himself is pure. Quoting just the last part of 1 John chapter 3, it says, He is pure. And if we're going to live with God, then we, like God, must be pure. God's Word is pure. The psalmist said, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. And because of that purity of God and the purity of God's Word, God expects and demands of His people, those that would dwell in the very presence of God, that those also, that is, we, are to be pure. In Psalm 24, the psalmist asks, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? That is, who is going to dwell in the very presence of God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Or again, from Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Or yet again, from 1 Timothy 5, Paul told Timothy as a young preacher, here's one of the main duties of a preacher as a man of God. He is to keep himself pure before God. Again, in 2 Timothy 2, Paul told Timothy, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace, along with those that call upon the Lord from a pure heart. The preacher must keep himself pure because he associates with people that are pure, because they worship God who is pure. We are to have above all things a purity of heart. Some people have problems with that, and James said, we are to draw near unto God who will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And now we're beginning to see a little bit of the concept of purity. Here it is contrasted with the idea of those that are double-minded. Their hearts are not pure in their thinking of God, in their service of God, and their love of God, but they've let creep into their heart a love of other things. Love of the world. Love of ungodliness. And if we are to love God with all of our heart, we are to love God with a pure heart. And that purity is to cleanse ourselves from such. Peter said, we are to love one another with a pure heart. To love God and to love each other. Then is based upon this very concept of purity. And that's why John said in 1 John chapter 3 that I quoted just the last part, everyone who has the hope of living with God purifies himself even as God is pure. We want to live with God. One of the reasons we love God is His purity. There is no evil, there is no ungodliness, there is no desire for evil in Himself or anyone else. God loves righteousness and holiness and justness. God is absolutely pure. If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, it says purity is to be free from all heterogeneous or extraneous matters. Don't you love dictionary words? It is to be free from everything outside. It is to be 100% of that which is inside, that which it is to be made up of, especially from anything that impairs or pollutes. It is free from that which defiles or contaminates. Innocent, spotless, chaste, genuine. When we then talk about purity, it is that which is unmixed. It is a purity that is not double-minded, but rather singleness of content and heart and desire. The word that Jesus used in Matthew 5, literally, is from the Greek word katharos, which we get the idea of catharsis, and the idea of that which cleanses. And so, we're talking about that which is not contaminated, not dirty, not mixed with the things of ungodliness and the world, but is unmixed, is pure in its love for God. That is a heart that has been cleansed from defilement and from mixture and from other thoughts and other desires. And it desires with all of our heart to serve and to worship God. So as Christians, we have purified our hearts in obeying the truth. We have cleansed our minds and our emotions and our desires and our love, so that we can sing, Father, we love You. But we sing it from a heart that is pure and unmixed. It is free from the contamination of the world and ungodliness. That's the way the Bible teaches it. Our struggle is trying to measure up to what the Bible teaches. That's always the struggle. But this is what God holds forth for us. This is what our Father who loves us desires of us. Is He wants us to be pure. to have a heart that is unmixed and undirtied and uncluttered with the things of the world. Now, we understand that because we see the ads all the time. I've never seen an ad yet, though, that advertised itself as 100% pure. And so it's always 99.9% pure, because that's about as good as we're going to get in the physical, chemical world. And maybe that's all the better we get in our Christian life, but that's not the goal. And what we're looking for is a heart that is not 99.9%, but a heart that is pure before God. And to cleanse the mind of defilement and that which is wrong. And so pure being unmixed is the idea of having a single eye. Or another figure of speech is the idea of singleness of heart. And that singleness is this idea of purity, where it is not mixed. And a heart that is mixed is a heart that is divided. It has mixed allegiances, mixed loyalties, mixed desires, mixed love, and a desire that when that enters into the heart, I'm going to tell you what it does. It pulls your heart apart. What it does is it causes conflict of your mind and your conscience and your desire. And you live in a state of turmoil trying to serve God. And so we purify the heart. We put aside those things of the world. Or as Paul said in Colossians 3, we put off the earthy part of man. And we put on in our hearts righteousness and holiness and purity. And that is a singleness of purpose. A singleness of goal. A singleness of love. To love God with all of my heart. And all of my soul and all of my mind. That is the aspect of purity that the Bible talks about. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And when we seek God, we are to seek God with all of our heart and all of our mind. This one thing I do, putting aside and putting behind me all of the other things, I press to the high mark of the calling of God. It's my purpose in life. I make a living, but I live for God. I have to eat to live, but my meat really is to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. I have friends galore, at least those that claim to be friends. But God is all. That's the purity. And we wrestle with that. You know, I stand here and I just said those three things, and I'm inside I'm going, well, that's only kind of true. Why don't you tell them the whole truth? And the whole truth is, I'm not there yet. But it doesn't erase the goal. This is what God desires of me. It's what I desire of myself. In Matthew chapter 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And James said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. That is, no longer to have things pulling me back and forth. The world, God. No, to purify your heart so that your heart desires only God and righteousness and holiness. That's why we sing Number 150.
Know me pure in heart, O God. Help me to be. May I devote a life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet. Guide me with counsel sweet. Pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will, most lovingly. Pay Thou my friend and good, let me with Thee abide. Pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. That I Thy holy face, Son, they may see. Help me from secret sin, reign now my soul within. Pure in heart, help me to be.
When you read James and it says, purify your heart, it that a moment that I see what God desires, that I turn to God and I petition God and earnestly I pray, help me. Help me to be pure of heart. That someday I can see God. And God has provided for us that we can purify that heart. God has instructed us and God has taught us. But one of the problems that centers into this is that at that juncture, what happens is people begin focusing, instead of the heart, they begin focusing upon the things that happen in our life or the things that we do in our life, the outward manifestation of what the heart is. And the way we do that is we begin reading our Bible and we begin noting all of the things that God said. You can't do this and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And so we make this long list. If you haven't done that, make the list. Memorize it. Because God said, don't do those things. I understand that. But I also know that if all I have is a list I'm going to not do those things attitude. What has been the experience of every man that has walked the earth except for Jesus? We end up not keeping the list. And what happens as we struggle to keep the list, oftentimes our struggle becomes oppressive to us and religion loses its fun. Religious loses its fervor. What happens is it becomes about making this list rather than from the heart. And I know that this is easy to get out of balance and I know it's easy for you to misunderstand what I've just said. I did not say it's not important to have the list and to keep the list. What is important is, why do you have the list in the first place? What is important is, why are you doing the things that you are doing? And so what God did was, He centered not just on the list. If you'd like a list, go read Galatians 5, verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? So there are lists that give us this, don't do that. But what God is interested in is not that, but our hearts. Give me your heart. But give God all of your heart, unmixed with the world, uncontaminated with worldliness and earthiness, a heart that is devoted to God. So, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Starting at verse 10, Jesus called the multitude and He said unto them, hear and understand. It is not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Wow. So His disciples came and they said unto Him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And then answered Peter and he said, explain unto us this parable. And Jesus said to Peter, are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Whatever enters into the mouth goeth into the stomach and is cast into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies, slander. Those are the things that defile. So what we are taught to do is keep your heart with all diligence, or our village, and from it flows life. That's why it talks about the pure in heart shall see God. So how do I keep my heart from being contaminated? How do I keep my heart from being mixed with the things of the world? And the answer is, put a fence up. Yeah. There's some things you just know you're not supposed to do. But here's where the problem comes. I want to do them. And what you want to do, you'll find a way to do. And what I must learn to do for the purity of heart is I need, above all else, to change what my heart is dwelling upon. I need to change what my heart loves and desires and wants. And when I change the heart's desire, I guarantee you, it'll change my life. When I desire God with all of my heart, and I know that He abhors adultery or stealing or lying, then I will set out to please God by not doing all of those things that God hates. So we put up a fence. Keep your heart. This is the idea of putting away crooked speech. This is the idea of keeping our eyes centered upon the goal, that is, upon God. And by eyes, I mean our spiritual eyes. Where I look for God, and I look for that which is righteousness. And I begin pondering my heart. By the way, this is the rest of that thing in Proverbs. Keep your heart. How? He tells you in the next verses. Keep your heart by putting away that which contaminates, by looking directly for your goal, by pondering the paths of your feet. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And so what happens is I begin changing my focus and my love. Until finally, the love of God consumes me. Not there yet, are you? But it sounds good. And when you take a look at where we're going and what it's going to be like, it has to create in us this desire. And so, this purity of heart, when you see it in action, you will see it in people's lives. You'll see it in how they think. Their minds are directed towards God and righteousness. You will see it in how they dress. And I'm going to tell you what, there's not a lot of purity in dress anymore. There's not a lot of modesty. The word modesty deals with the idea of that which comes from the inward heart that simply does not want to be shamed or shameful. It is not from the outside that says your dress or your clothes are going to be this long or this loose. But it's a changing of the heart that I say from within myself, I do not want to offend God by offending by people. And I begin dressing in a way that shows my inner character of righteousness and holiness. You see it in people's language. I see it all the time on Facebook. Actually, what you see is the opposite of it. And I made up my mind, if anybody ever posts on my Facebook page language that I do not use, they will never post on my page again. It's objectionable. But in our daily language, when somebody begins speaking like the world and using the vocabulary of the world and talking about the things of the world that God says I hate, what you can tell is the purity of heart's not there. It's not about setting up a dollar jar that every time you use that word you got to put a dollar in the jar. But that helps motivate people to not use the word. But what God wants is He wants our hearts to change where we don't desire the language and the vocabulary. But we speak from a pure heart. The purity of heart will show up in our associations. If in all of my associations, they're always wanting to do and inviting to do and pulling me to do that which is ungodly and unrighteous, if my heart is pure, I can't go there. A man in the purity of his heart falls in love with a lady, and all of a sudden, all of the other ladies around him are enticing him, and they're pulling him away from her so that he can share. You realize purity of heart won't let him go there. The purity of love for her would keep him from crossing over that line. And so when you see somebody that crosses over the line, you can mark it down. It is a sign that the heart was not pure in its love. when we cross over the line away from God. It's the same sign. The purity of the heart is that which dictates our activities. A heart that loves God and desires God simply does not want to participate in that which is ungodly and worldly and reprehensible. Oh, you're a Christian, you can't go there. No, I'm in love with God and I won't go there. Bottom line is, you didn't go. But it makes a world of difference. Because if the reason you didn't go is because you're saying, well, I really kind of wanted to, but I know as a Christian I can't go there. So I guess I'll just sit here and be miserable. But when you love God with all of your heart and you have no desire to go there, there's no misery. It's joy and peace and well-being. And your being is not being pulled by two different desires. There's just purity, unmixed, single-eyed, single heart in wanting to do what God said and to be right with God. Therefore, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, whatsoever is true and whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. How do I change my heart? Change what you love. Change what you think about. How do I change what I love? Hard work. I wished I had some magic dust and I could just sprinkle it on you and all of a sudden it changes all of your desires and all of your loves and all that you have. And the truth of the matter is, there is no magic dust. I went to a high school. We had 2,000 people, a little over that. I guess high school. Our people. Roughly 50% of them were girls. And out of that, I picked one. No magic dust. At least I don't think she had any. And what happens is, you change your thinking. And it's not about all of the others that are there. They don't matter. And you change your heart, you change your focus, you change what you're thinking about, you change what you want, you change what you desire, and what happens is you give your heart away. And that's the purity that God wants from us, but He wants us to love Him as He has loved us. And so we begin thinking and controlling what we think. And by the way, you do control what you think. Sometimes we act as if the brain is out of control. And these thoughts just pop up. No, they don't. We put them out of our mind. And even when they do just pop up, if they do, what you do is you quit thinking that way. You talk to God about it. You begin realizing that is not where I want to be. That is not what I want to do. How can I, Joseph, tempted by Potiphar's wife, how can I so sin against my God? And his answer was, I can't do this. And it wasn't because Potiphar's wife was the ugliest woman in Egypt. It was because he loved God. And the love of God constrains us from that. And so it is back to this whole thing. Think on these things. Think on that which is righteous. Think on that which is holy. Think about God's character. Think about what God has done. Think about where we're going when we die. Think about God. And learn to love God with all of our hearts. So we're back to where we started. Blessed are the pure in heart. Singleness of heart, singleness of mind, singleness of devotion, singleness of love. Love God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. For those people will see God. What about the others? No such promise. Because if you don't love God, then you'll love something else. And that's the problem. The loving of anything else instead of God is basically idolatry and cannot be right with God. So what should I do? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your soul in obedience to the truth, being born again, we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. But first things first, here's where we start. You need to be born again. You need to start over again. You need to take that heart that has been divisive or sometimes wholly given to that which is evil, and you need to turn it around and turn it back to God and give it back to God and learn to love God with all of your heart. And I'm here to tell you, it's not always easy because there's lots of things that pull us. But none of them are worth it. For when we see God, there's nothing greater. And if you're ready to make that decision, you can be born again this morning. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can be born of water and the Spirit this morning, obeying the truth. And then, give your heart to God, daily making sure that the heart is pure before God. If you're willing to do that, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.